Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And if you'd like to call us right now, Hannah will pick up the phone and put you through to us, and we'll talk about your tax life as well, too. And Andrew's with us from Harvell & Collins. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, before we get started, I would need to wish my wife a happy birthday today.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Good job.
So it's her birthday today, and hope everything's going well. She got some extra snuggles from our daughter Caroline last night. She wanted to make sure she rang in her birthday true this year.
Yeah, Caroline is now, what, seven months old?
7 months old.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So she decided she wanted to make sure Mama made it up to midnight. And beyond.
Yeah, that's right. That's what 7-month-olds will do. All right. So, what do you have for us today?
Well, Ben, the IRS has announced their inflation adjustments for tax rates, and for pretty much all tax attributes. They do this every year. So the numbers we're going to go over today do not apply to your 2019 taxes. They will apply to the tax year 2020. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind, listeners. And we got to start with estate taxes. You know, Harvell & Collins, we're first and foremost, deal with a lot of transfer tax issues through, through estate planning and gift planning. So we'll start with those levels, and we have an increase with regards to the unified credit amount. So the unified credit amount this past year was $11.4 million.
Yeah, so, I can't imagine getting there, actually.
Yeah. So that means that, you know, you can have an estate that is below $11.4 million, and you can transfer that to your beneficiaries tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great thing. That has now been increased. We're up to $11.58 million.
Okay.
Dollars. So, again, we got a little bit more wiggle room there in case you may need it.
And when one spouse passes away and everything goes to the other spouse, is that also double that?
Yeah, so we've got a $23.16 million effectively between the two spouses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, it doesn't happen automatically, Ben. That's one thing that our listeners need to be made aware of, and that's where good planning comes into place.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple different ways you can make sure that you get that exemption amount over, because one of the big things we're concerned about in estate planning is, where is this number going to go?
Mm-hmm.
So in the event that we do have a spouse that unfortunately passes away at this point in time when these exemption levels are so high, we want to make sure that we preserve that amount for the surviving spouse. Because hypothetically, Ben, you know, you could pass over $11.58 million from one spouse to the other spouse. And then in the event the estate tax went down back to, let's say, $1 million, you know, that spouse would have $12.58 million, basically, in order to preserve any assets that are in her estate or his estate, the surviving spouse. But you must either do that through a credit shelter trust, which is what we've been setting up for our clients, to make sure that in the event that the tax rate goes down, we're preserving these credits. Also, you can elect portability, which involves filing an estate tax return and then electing to port the unused amount, so that whatever is amount's not used, the exemption amount's not used, we can just transfer that over to the surviving spouse by filing an estate tax return. And we've got a couple of clients right now that I'm working on doing that for. And there's pros and cons to both methods, but it is very important with these exemption levels being so high at the moment to port it over or use a credit shelter trust to make sure we preserve those credits for the surviving spouse.
Okay. So when you say port it over, that's not a way we usually use that word, but it's like being portability.
Yeah, portability. That's exactly right. So we port that exemption amount over to the spouse, so that way we can stack whatever the surviving spouse's exemption is when they leave us onto the deceased spouse's amount as well.
Okay. So, all right.
So $11.58 million is where we stand. Now, gift taxes, right now you can give anyone $15,000 a year. That is what's called the annual exclusion amount. So the annual exclusion amount means that you can give someone $15,000 and not have to report that to the IRS in any way, shape, or form.
But it does come off of your total exemption, right?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
This is an annual exclusion that you get every year. That amount has not changed for 2020. So we did have a little increase in the last couple of years, went from 14 to 15. Now we're staying at 15 for 2020.
I guess if it exceeds that, I mean, then you can take it
That's
off.
Right. Yeah.
But you're still not having to pay a gift
Correct.
Card tax.
So what happens, Ben, if you exceed the amount of the annual exclusion, you're exactly right, then in that event, you would need to file a gift tax return. Mm-hmm. And any amount that you've gifted over the 15 can be shielded from paying tax by using part of your unified credit amount, which is basically the $11.58 million that I mentioned earlier, because
right.
the estate tax and the gift tax are tied together.
Mm-hmm.
And that exemption amount, that lifetime exemption amount, is for both estates and gifts mm-hmm. that are made. So, again, a good time to make some gifts, depending on what your estate is, as long as you don't create, you know, negative income tax consequences
right.
with those as well. And again, this end of the year planning is always a great time to think about gifting
mm-hmm.
because you can turn around and do $15,000. Talked mm-hmm. to a lot of my clients about this, do $15,000 here in November, December, and then turn right around in January and you can do another $15,000.
Right.
Because it's an annual exclusion mm-hmm. amount. So that's not going up. That's just going to stay the same at $15,000. And then our income tax brackets, you remember with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, Ben, we're now down to 7 brackets, and we're going up a little bit on the brackets themselves. The top rate here is going to be at, for an individual, $518,400 is going to put you in the 37% bracket.
Right.
So middle of the way, you know, if you're in the 22% bracket, 24% bracket, you're looking 22% at $85,000. 24% at $163,000 for an individual.
Okay.
So, you know, those are the kind of numbers we're looking at with regards to the income tax brackets. And I'll try to post those to our Facebook page so our listeners can see. But they all went up just slightly
mm-hmm.
with regards to inflation. One of the numbers that did move a little bit is the standard deduction amount. So we've talked about how under the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, we eliminated the personal exemptions and we've increased the standard deduction. And it started at $12,000. This year it's $12,200
okay.
per individual. Next year, $12,400.
Okay.
So we've jumped another $200 with regards to the standard deduction amount. So for spouses, Ben, married filing jointly, $24,800 in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about how this has put people more into taking the standard deduction. Because remember, a lot of the miscellaneous itemized deductions got eliminated
mm-hmm.
from the tax code with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And we've also put caps on state and local taxes. The cap on that's going to be $10,000 for, you know, property taxes or any income taxes paid to the state. So a lot of times individuals, estimates around 90% of individuals are just going to be taking this $24,800 standard deduction for spouses, $12,400 for individuals, because you just don't have enough itemized deductions
right.
to exceed these amounts. And so we've talked about some planning purposes are potentially stacking. You know, we've talked about pay your property taxes, you know, pay them in December,
mm-hmm.
And make sure you pay them before the end of the next year too. So you,
yeah.
or pay them in January and then pay them in December and you put double the property taxes on there as long as you don't exceed the limit of $10,000. You're going to be fine doing that. We've talked about making charitable contributions and putting more in one year versus another year in order to try to itemize one year and then take the standard deduction the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your planning tools, but with an increased standard deduction and with it going up another $200, it's just putting more people into the standard deduction realm in all honesty. Ben.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
In fact, again, also older folks maybe that have paid off their houses now, they don't have that mortgage anymore to deduct. So
that's right.
They're more likely to going to be in that standard deduction range.
That's right.
Even if they do contribute a fair amount.
Yeah, and I wanted to end today just with the announcement of higher 2020 retirement plan contribution limits. So, for instance, the 401k limit – or federal thrift savings plan limit, which is a lot of our listeners who mm-hmm. work on the base are familiar with, $19,500 for 2020, which is $500 more than the 2019 limit. The 401k catch-up for limit for employees ages 50 or older, we allow them to put more into mm-hmm. a 401k because they're getting closer and closer to retirement age. That limit's up to $6,500, up from $6,000 in 2019. SEP IRAs, solo 401ks for self-employed and small business owners, the amount they can save goes up to $57,000, you know, up from $56,000 in 2019. So what you're seeing here, Ben, is you're seeing, you know, increased amounts, you know, relative to inflation to allow people to put more money into their retirement savings plans.
Right.
So that's definitely a good thing. And, you know, these inflation adjustments every year, you know, can prove big dividends for a lot of people because, you know, the more money you can put away, for instance, in these retirement plans and grow income mm-hmm. tax free until you have to make a withdrawal, you know, more money that you'll be able to save for the future and save for retirement. So keep these limits in mind, and I'll post something to the, an mm-hmm. article, the revenue ruling that came out that goes through all these inflation adjustments so our listeners can take a look. You know, if you have any questions, let me know.
Were our IRA limits affected at all?
Yeah, so the IRA limits were up, Ben. Let's see here. The catch up level was $6,000, remained at $6,000. Let's see what the contribution limit is. I'll post that on our page, Ben,
okay.
and let you know
what
the limit there is.
Yeah, because people without 401ks, they may have IRAs. They want to know if they can contribute a little bit more to that. All right. Again, if you want to find out more, you always go online to HarveldandCollins.com. You'll listen to past shows there, too. But also make your appointment with Harveld and Collins to get your answers to your life and taxes questions there, too. So give Andrew a call at 726-9050. You can email him afoster@HarveldandCollins.com.